B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
All right, it's Gasper and Murray here at 98.5, a Sports Hub, till 2 o'clock. And one of the stories we didn't touch on in that first hour, Chris, is, I like getting you fresh when you haven't gone to Felger and Maz on a Friday.
I know.
There was no show yesterday.
That's right.
We had Celtics on, a little bit of programming, but beyond that, no show, so I don't really know what the hell you think about Zdeno Chara to the Washington Capitals. This story actually broke on Wednesday. I was on with Ted Johnson filling in for Felger and Maz. And I was kind of blown away by it. Like, nothing had been happening. I just, all we had heard is maybe they want to use him in a reserve role. Maybe it was almost like a player/coach type of thing. Maybe he was leaning towards retirement. But there was really nothing bubbling with Zdeno Chara. And then, boom, what you hear is he's a member of the Washington Capitals for under $800,000.
$795,000.
Huh?
Felger money.
That doesn't make...
Felger makes more than Chara.
Right, yes. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, especially when they're giving out contracts to a Kevin Miller who,
when
healthy, a nice player, brings you toughness, but hasn't played in 18 months and is going to be coming back off a reconstructed knee that held him out last year, too.
Yeah.
Again, nice player, but to me, that's a guy that's on one leg. And I know, given his age, he's not the player that he was. But Zdeno Chara still means a lot in that locker room. And not to mention, when on the ice last year, he was still good. So this makes no sense to me, given the financial aspect of it. They say they want to move on to younger players. Huh?
What younger players?
This feels like a team to me that has little to no plan. And this is part. This just solidifies that feeling.
Well, speaking of stories, so I sent you a story last night, also from the Worldwide Leader and Worldwide Leader Plus.
Pretty telling.
And I know people feel a certain way about ESPN's NHL coverage. I can tell you that Greg Wyshynski is great, and Emily Kaplan I work with, and she's great. So maybe the Worldwide Leader doesn't publicize pucks enough, but the people reporting on it are legit. So they did a story evaluating all prospect pipelines for the 31 teams. And guess where your Boston Bruins ranked? Because remember now, Don Sweeney says they have these young guys that they want to play. They want to give more opportunity. They want to allow them to. He has these young guys. I believe Don's word was percolating. They have young guys percolating like a nice Starbucks latte, right? Where did ESPN rank the Bruins pucks prospect pipeline?
When you sent this article to me last night, I was like, okay, scrolling. 30.
Out of 31.
What?
And it would be 31 out of 32, except for the Kraken don't have a pipeline yet. So who are these players that Sweeney's in a big rush on the blue line to get to play? To me, what it made the most sense is you bring Chara back one more year. You give him basically the same role. If he shows that at 44 he started to decline, then you sort of scale back his minutes, and if there's some young guy who's ready to play more minutes, fine. But in an offseason where you already lost Torrey Krug, why does it make sense for you to move away from Zdeno Chara? I mean, I get it. They like Vaakanainen. I understand that. But when he starts, again, it's kind of like the Marcus Smart discussion we had. It's like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. So they'll start talking about the young defenseman. It's like Vaakanainen, Lazan, Zobril. I'm like, what? That guy? From that draft, the draft where they could have had Matthew Barzal or Kyle Connor or Thomas Chabot, they could have had any of those guys, and instead they ended up with basically DeBrusk is the only hit because Sinishin's not any good. Like, that's what we're talking about. So this just blows my mind. And I know the Bruins, again, they love themselves some Craig Smith, and I think that could be a nice signing. But I feel like this offseason's been a major fail. And I know there's a little bit of a disagreement here, Jim, between Chara and Sweeney as to what exactly the Bruins were presenting to him. You read Chara's Instagram post, it sounds like he
I thought it was very telling. That first, within the first few sentences, he's like, oh, they're moving on.
They're moving on. They told me they want to move on and play their younger players. Sweeney is couching it in a different manner. Whatever it is, they made Chara feel like he wasn't part of their plans. And I think that is a huge mistake for a team that is still in a win-now window. Krejci's going to be a free agent after this year. The goaltender's a free agent after this year. This is not the year to be futzing around and trying to figure out your blue line. This is the year to make sure you have at least solid play there. And if somebody pops, they pop, that's great. But to go into this with what they're going to have for blue liners, that scares me. Like, I could see making this move if you brought in Noah Hanifin, or I know he's more of an offensive guy, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who I've liked. If you brought in somebody like that, then I'm like, okay, I understand this. But without bringing in somebody else from the outside and losing Krug and Chara, and this is what you have to work with on the blue line with a team that should be in win-now mode, I don't get it at all.
And, you know, just reading at least from this ESPN paywall piece that you sent to me, again, where the Bruins are ranked 30th out of the 31 teams in terms of prospects. And so, again, you know, these percolating prospects, all these D-men that are listed, I'm reading here, the Bruins have a shallow pool that didn't have much of a chance to get better in the 2020 draft. There's some real promise, though. Jack Stednica, speedy forward, who should get NHL time this season, likely be a long-term forward in the middle six for Boston. Another position of strength for the team is in net. Jeremy Swayman broke out for UMaine last season. I think he's still in Alaska, by the way. Daniel Vladar, among the best goalies in the AHL last season. Last time we saw him was flopping around like a fish in the bubble. And Kyle Kaiser, that's my own editorial I added. Kyle Kaiser coming out of his first professional season. Some real intrigue in the pipeline that may need to be called upon in the new year. But I'm reading this. Nothing about defensemen. Nothing about any kind of defensemen. So what percolating prospects at D are you talking about?
And
so,
I guess Lausanne. I mean, I like him too, but I mean, he's just, I don't know. I mean, if you had a guy that you felt like, okay, here's another guy who's like a Brandon Carlo for sure, then again, maybe I'd give you a pass on this. But this makes no sense to me.
It really comes down to, I think, a difference in perspective. The Bruins and Sweeney and Neely and maybe even Coach Cassidy look at Zdeno Chara and say they don't think he can play that much.
They think he's cashed.
Yeah, they think he's cashed. Okay. And that's it. And Zdeno Chara feels like he can still play, period. That's it. And so it's a difference of perspective. I lean with Chara. Again, you're not going to be getting, you know, 25, 26 minutes out of him every single night, especially on back-to-backs. That's not going to happen. But he can still play a role. He was still damn good on this team last year. I still think you need his leadership. And I just, this feels premature to me. I still think he had a role on this team.
I agree.
The team didn't.
Well, here's the thing. Again, and not to be repetitive about it, but if you had made some sort of move, some sort of upgrade in the offseason at that position, I mean, you probably know the sport a lot better than I do. I mean, I'm just throwing out guys I know the Bruins have been interested in. You go back to that 2015 draft. They liked Noah Hanifin. They liked Zach Werenski. You're not going to get him. They liked Ivan Provorov, who's with the Flyers. They liked all those guys. If you're bringing somebody like that in and letting Chara go, I get it. I understand. But you lost Torrey Krug. Now you're going to let Chara go. So that's, what, two of your top 4D? And now it's just going to be filled in from the pipeline with guys like, what's it, Jakob Zobril? I can't even pronounce the
Jakob
guy's
Zoboril.
Name. Zoboril, whatever the guy's name is. Like, you're going to, he's going to fit the bill? I don't have a lot of confidence in that. And I don't have a lot of confidence in general in them bringing guys up through the pipeline, because when Sweeney ascended to general manager, that was supposed to be the difference from Peter Chiarelli. He was going to rebuild the pipeline. Do you think that's really happened?
No, not at all.
I mean, 30th pipeline in the NHL out of 31 teams? I don't think that's really happened. I don't think they've drafted great. I don't think there's all these guys, quote-unquote, percolating for them. So I don't know who they're in such a rush to move on to. Again, I think if it happens organically, and we see this all the time in football, you have a veteran guy, the young guy suddenly midway through the season is better, and that guy's out.
Yeah.
If that happened organically, I would have no problem with it. But what was the harm in bringing Chara back as insurance?
Yeah, I don't, and especially for that money. You know, like, if that's what the money was, then what's the harm? So, I don't know. And it's one of these things, like, look, I mean, typically in sports, like, none of these things end the way that you want them to, and sometimes it sucks to be a fan. There was a kid that called, early 20s, that called when Ted and I were on Wednesday when this news broke, that he sounded heartbroken. He's like, I usually don't call sports radio stations. He's like, but as a Bruins fan, he's like, this shouldn't have happened. And it's like, yeah, sometimes, man, it just sucks to be a fan. Like, you know, like, I was a Roger Clemens fan as a kid. And
until he ignored you.
Well, yeah, but that one broke my heart. That's when I realized what people are really all about at that
it's
baseball
like that
card
Simpsons.
Show.
You can see the exact moment little Jimmy's
true.
Heart breaks.
But him
Roger
going,
didn't choose you.
But him going to Toronto and then going to Toronto as like and getting in shape and not being a great big fatso anymore. That was at the time like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be. And then he becomes a Yankee, Brady in a Tampa Bay Bucks uniform. Like, it's not supposed to be that way. Zdeno Chara playing for the Washington Capitals, not supposed to be that way. But these things typically end ugly. And it just feels like there's a difference of opinion between these two parties. The Bruins think he's cashed. Chara, I still think I think he's still an elite athlete. The guy, the way that guy trains at that age, I think is lunacy. But the guy's willing to put his body on the line. We've seen that with the broken jaw, Game 5 against the Blues a few years ago. He's still got something left, and he said that in his little Zoom press conference he did the other day too. And I think he has something left, and I still think he has something left on this team. But now he's gone. So if you want to weigh in on that, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I just want to ask you this because I know, you know, we want people to weigh in on this. But, okay, let's say he is cashed. Isn't a cashed version of Chara still better than some of these young guys? Isn't he still better than Kevin Miller?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
With the Triscuit knees?
If there was a wager you could place on.
I know Kevin Miller's not a young guy, but I'm just saying Kevin Miller lives on. I like Vaakanainen, so you know, I'll leave him out because I actually really do like him. But, you know, the other guy, the Z guy, whose name I can't pronounce, who's basically a bust at this point.
All right. You want to weigh in on the Chara news? Have at it at 617-779-0985. Get to more of your calls. Well, some of your calls on that and more of your calls on the Patriots. We'll circle back to them coming up next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First, I want to mention that I believe Don Sweeney negotiated in a good faith, and I really appreciate the way everything was communicated to me and was very open to me. We had a number of conversations. He made it clear what conditions and what role I would be taking with the organization if I would return. But I just felt that, you know, what was presented to me and what conditions were kind of attached to it, I just felt that I had more to offer. I respect their decisions and wish them the best, but I just felt that I can still play regularly and, you know, play the games. And, you know, I have no issues of them going a different direction. I just feel like for me at this point in my career, it's better if I continue to play.
That's Zdeno Chara, now a member of the Washington Capitals. That just feels so weird to have to say.
I hate it.
Yeah, that's him in his little Zoom press conference that he did as a member of the team just a few days ago after this was announced. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I just... this one doesn't make any sense to me because I don't think that, unlike Cam Newton, I think that Zdeno Chara can still play. He's still effective on the ice. I still think he's better than what they're going to be using in his place now. Earl Vaakanainen, John Moore.
I forgot about John Moore.
How do you like to say his name, Chris?
Jakob Zaboril? I don't know. Zaboril? What's the guy's
Jakob
name?
Zaboril.
Zaboril?
Zaboril.
I'm Zaboril, thinking he's going to play this year. I just picture Char skating, like in pregame warmups, Jim, and going to like Brad Marchand. I must break you.
Well, now with this new format, they're going to see the Capitals, what, 8 times? So he'll have the opportunity. And like, look, he's a class act. He's not going to do that. I don't think he's going to try to prove a point to any of these members of this team here.
I do hope he a la your boy Clemens, though, stares up, and because you can always see where Sweeney and Cam are sitting. I do hope he, like, does something and, like, stares up into the box.
If I was in his shoes, and I had a game-winning goal or, you know, was great in the corners, once the game was over, Capitals win, I would stare up. I would put the stick between my legs. And I would ride it and also use a certain motion, looking right up at Cam and Sweeney with a slow stroke. Very sensuous. That's what I would do. That's just me. Let's go to
the people.
Yes, Drea in Boston. Hey, Drea, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Drea.
Jim.
You as well. Happy New Year.
Guys, I just want to talk. I mean, we're discussing about the Bruins. I'm a little concerned about the leadership, but not where you would think with the loss of Big Z, because I think Patrice Bergeron is going to step up very well. But I'm more concerned about the loss of Krug, because Krug was kind of that, I want to say, middle veteran who kind of gapped between the rookies and the young guys and the older guys like Krejci, like Bergeron, like Marchand that are on the team. And he kind of was one of those unsung glue guys, if you want to say. I think we're seeing, as you guys are talking about, a transition. But I'm a little concerned, because something that comes clear with Krug and the Zdena situation is it seems like the Bruins front office kind of made their decision and just went, hey, this is what we want to do. Either you take it or you leave it. And there wasn't really any negotiations.
Oh, Dre, that's how. And thanks for calling, and good to hear from you, buddy. That's how it feels to me. They drew the line in the sand, and that's what it was going to be. There wasn't going to be any kind of talk with Char. It's like, this is how we feel about you. If you don't like it, tough. You can either retire or go somewhere else. And there was apparently, I always take this with a grain of salt, any kind of agent talk. According to Char's agent, there was a dozen or so teams interested. I don't know about that. But, it's good to know that there was interest and he could go somewhere else. I almost feel like this is kind of like the Brady thing and the way that played out. Like, oh, where are you going to go? Do you think, of course, you've always bent over backwards and taken our bad deals that we put in front of you. Yeah. We know you'll be back. You're here forever. A la Mr. Burns. But no, he's like, screw. Oh, you don't think I'll go to the Bucks? Watch me. And he did. Yeah. And I feel like this Chara thing has an air of that as too. Oh, you don't think I'll go somewhere else? F you. I'll go play for the Washington effing Capitals.
Yeah, I feel like they pushed him, and they pushed him out. And the part I don't understand, and look, you're more of a Bruins fan than I am, and you certainly understand the intricacies of the team and the core and all that.
Yeah, if Sweeney has another move ready to go, or there's been talk that, he's been looking around, looking for defensemen throughout the league, okay, then fine. Maybe this will make this a easier pill to swallow. But as of right now, it doesn't.
But how do you maximize your core, your aging core, and not bring this guy back? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me to say you're basically going to have community auditions on the blue line and try and take advantage of what's left of the time that you have this group of guys together. I mean, it basically sends a message to me that they're already transitioning away from this core and they think they're not going to win another cup, which, I hate to bring this up, is all the more reason that Game 7 2019 will always be completely heartbreaking.
You just reminded me. I hadn't thought about community auditions in years. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Saturdays?
Oh, yeah.
With Dave Maynard? I mean, I think it's been off the air for now for probably 20 years, but boy, did I love that show.
Yeah, you should bring that back. That's the type of thing I could see you hosting.
Look, now that all these teams are never going to win again, Chris, and we're heading back to the bad old days, who knows how radio, it's such a vibrant, vital industry right now. So, maybe I got to polish up the resume, and that's what I can do.
I mean, how's Cameo these days?
It was pretty good heading into Christmas, slow down since, but if you need me to do any kind of audition, I need that money. Find me on Cameo for the low, low price of $15. But yeah, a host on community auditions, I would do that. Lord knows this face deserves to be on TV. Oh, God, where's it all going to be in like 5 years, Chris? I worry about it every day. Where's this all heading? What a nightmare. I've made terrible
decisions.
That's
tough. I mean, you recently celebrated a birthday. A lot of Gen Xers are getting aged out of job opportunities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's
very tough.
It's a real pisser.
It's really sort of, Xennials, Millennials, the other, what's it, Gen Y, whatever. It's kind of our time now.
Yeah, it's your time. Kevin in the car, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's so funny. I grew up in northern New Jersey as a transfer. I was a Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Dolphins fan, ironically enough. And I moved up here, and living there, I thought the Met fan was the most obnoxious fan I'd ever seen, when all of a sudden they had Strawberry and Gooden, and they got good. You move up here, and the Patriots, I mean, for me, it was unfortunate because the Yankees used to always win and the Giants and all that crap. I move up here, and the Patriots all of a sudden become good. And the Patriot fan is just the most ravenous fan. We're experiencing one of the greatest seasons of football. I mean, the Giants are still in it, and they got three wins. And the Bruins fan wants to complain about losing Chara. It's just crazy how the Patriots fan has just gone away. Where are they? They call your show, Jim, I love your takes on these things, but it's wild how all of a sudden nobody seems to care about football. They've moved on, and now they're complaining about basketball, and now they're complaining that about the Bruins. It's just...
Well, Kevin, and thanks for calling. What bugs me, I'll tell you what bugs me about the mentality of the Patriots fan. We took a call like this earlier. This was a throwaway season. Bill knew it was going to be the COVID season.
Yeah, Bill always knows.
So, you know, this was like, I think the caller referred to it as an extended preseason. That's all the 2020 season was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, an extended preseason. And see, what is he supposed to do, especially when COVID ravaged the team and the NFL forced him to get on the plane to go to Kansas City? Okay, all right. If that's how you feel, I will counter with, okay, what about those other teams that were ravaged by COVID? Like the Tennessee Titans, who are likely going to make the playoffs. They dealt with it. The Baltimore Ravens, who now are in the playoff picture and as of today will be in the playoffs, didn't really, you know, hem them up for a few weeks, but they were able to battle back from that. Who else? Well, Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
They may end up squeaking into the playoffs. It was a bad loss against the Jets last week, granted, but still they weren't completely derailed by it. The spin and looking at Bill Belichick as he's infallible. That's why I refer to him as Bill Jong-un. You know, like everything that he does is the right thing. Yes, dear leader. Oh, Bill played golf today. He what did he shoot? An 18. A hole in one on all 18 holes. Everything Bill does is the correct thing.
Correct.
You want to say he's been bad at the draft? Oh, shame on you. No. What about, Michael Owenu, this sixth rounder this year? Yeah, it's like Brady all over again, another sixth rounder.
The tight ends were hurt. It's not that they're not good. No, they're just, or you know what? The tight ends didn't have OTAs or an offseason, which, you know, a slightly different position, but hasn't stopped Justin Jefferson from threatening the rookie record for receiving yards.
Guys, he can't draft wide receivers. He's an excellent coach, maybe the greatest of all time. He can polish turds. He can find a Kyle Van Noy who was a throwaway in Detroit and turn that guy into an excellent player and get that guy paid in Miami. There's no one better than that. He can find undrafted free agents like J.C. Jackson and Malcolm Butler and make them household names. Again, nobody better than that. The coach isn't the most important thing in the NFL. It's not. It's not. It's the quarterback. And just for 2020 in a vacuum, Tom won. It's okay, guys. It's okay. That's your come-to-Jesus moment this season. Tom, in the last decade, more important. That's it. That's all. So, but if you want to continue to stick your head in the sand, like, no. Oh, no. He's going to come back with a vengeance. Yeah, this is going to be the most exciting offseason in years. He's going to find the next guy. He's going to bring in Matt Stafford. Like, all right, like, if you want to live in fantasy land, I understand. It's now very jarring to be a young millennial Patriots fan. I personally love it because it's about time you got a little comeuppance and you got a little humble pie because I remember the suck. I remember the bad days. I don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoyed these last two decades. The Brady Industrial Complex, the Patriots Industrial Complex.
Oh, I loved it.
Phenomenal. We'll never see anything like it ever again. Brady, my favorite athlete of all time. Still winning, by the way, making the playoffs. Bill not. All awesome. But the way that it ended, and the way that, like, it shouldn't have ended the way that it ended. It did. Brady's dad said it was going to end ugly. It did. Hated how it ended. So now, I, at least for 2020, Chris, had to make a decision. Tom or team? I went Tom. That's just for next year. I want to see the Patriots come back. But for you, the youngs, who all you've known is winning. Oh, so much winning. And you get so cocky with the, just the worst people in the world on social media. It's time for you to taste a little humble pie, and I am going to revel in it because I lived through the suck, and it's about time that you have to live through the suck. And I think it's going to suck for a little while, Chris. I hope not long.
Well, not if Jimmy G comes back.
I hope he's able to bounce back. Well, it's not just about the quarterback either. They got a lot of work to do. Bill's got a lot of work to do, so we'll see.
But
I would love to be proven wrong.
You were right about that. It's not just about the quarterback, but I think if we've learned, and you mentioned, you know, 2020 and what's coming, you know, down the pipe here and what we saw this past year with the whole Brady Belichick thing, quarterback can cover a lot of holes.
Sure can.
And as I've often said, go down the list. They all look like better coaches when they have the quarterback. Pete Carroll was laughed out of here. And then all of a sudden, Russell Wilson shows up. And who has arguably the second most exemplary program of sustained success in the NFL?
And that would be Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
So the quarterback makes them all look smarter.
Turns out it's about the quarterback, at least in today's pass-happy open offensive.
And speaking of comeuppance, I have to say now, you know, I'm not the biggest Jimmy G fan. I've kind of become a middler, though. I feel like I was too hard on him. But speaking of, you know, swallowing humble pie, oh, man, if Jimmy G came back here and you had to root for this team and they won 11 games and he played at a Pro Bowl level.
I'd be okay with that. At least,
oh,
you know.
But it'd be so great.
Fine. You know, I will eat that humble pie.
Okay.
I would
be okay with that?
I'd love to be wrong on Jimmy Garoppolo.
You had to sit next to Maz 5 days a week while this is happening.
I won't be because I'm right on Jimmy Garoppolo. Got that one more. I mean, him or Goff, which one do you want to pick? The most right on that, and this terrible Patriots team this year, but that's okay. We'll cross that bridge when we.
Are
come
you sure?
To.
I'm telling you, he might be coming back. You're gonna have to sit next to Maz. They're gonna be like, Jim, they have the guy back. They have the guy back. They have the guy back.
Yeah, win a playoff game. Or crap down your leg again like you did in the biggest game of your life when you had it.
Oh, he can be. But that's a great thing about Jimmy.
Yeah.
He can be managed, and you have the greatest coach of all time to stage manage him. Oh, I agree. Little Jimmy, he needs to be managed by his stage mama. But it can work. It can work. And I apologize to you, Jimmy. You are not Jared Goff because you were right about this, Jim Murray. I apologize. Jared Goff sucks. He is terrible. Jimmy Garoppolo is better. The G, as I always say, the G stands for Goff Plus.
All right, we will take any of your calls on anything that we've touched on. We had the Celtics hour at noon. We've talked some Patriots. We had this Chara stuff. Anything you want to weigh in on, we got a couple of open lines at 617-779-0985. See, Chris Fidley was able to pronounce
Zaboral.
Jakob Zaboral's name correctly. That too. We'll get to your calls coming up here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
And Ohio State has exercised the Clemson demon. They get their first win ever over the Clemson Tigers as the final seconds tick off the clock in New Orleans and the Buckeyes defeat Clemson 49-28, defeating a team that beat them last year at the same stage of the playoffs. And Ohio State will go to Miami and meet Alabama.
How about that for a pukey delivery? Just wanted to circle back to this. Ohio State has exercised the demons against Clemson and Justin Fields. Wow, what a great game. And maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars have something to think about here. Would they go with Justin Fields number one? Or should they still be looking at Trevor Lawrence?
How do you, like...
Just, I'm sorry. I mean, I made
the... You went to Syracuse?
I made the effing thing, the rejoin there, but even... I didn't notice it as much as when I was making it. I was like, oh, this guy's got kind of a pukey delivery. But hearing it again, like, why in 2021 do broadcasters still think that that's the way to do the job?
I'm going to try that now. I might try that delivery on Channel 5.
Welcome to WCVB Channel 5. I'm Christopher L. Gasper. The L is for Lee. What do you guys think about the Jets coming in here and stomping the Patriots so that they finish... 6-10 on the season. Is that an indictment on Bill Belichick going forward? No, but to open up the show, like, look, we don't do a lot of college football in New England. But I think this is worth talking about because the two quarterbacks last night are likely going to be going 1-2 in the NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence, like everybody, he's the guy. This is a generational talent we haven't seen since Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck this high. He's a can't miss prospect. And I guess, yeah, sure. Look, going back to the championship game against Alabama, 3 years ago, where he's a freshman, right? It's like,
yes,
oh, Jesus, this kid's a real deal. Got the size, the arm talent, poise, all that kind of stuff. But I will say, these last two big games, last year against LSU and this one last night, I don't know. There's something, man, I was like, I felt it after the game against LSU last year, like the biggest stage, like, really? Do we know that Trevor Lawrence is this kind of generational talent, like a Luck, Peyton Manning, can't-miss prospect? Or is he like someone tweeted to me last night, I forget who it was, but credit to you, it's not mine, I thought it was a great line, is Trevor Lawrence Kirk Cousins with hair? And I can't get that out of my mind because he looked like Kirk Cousins with long hair last night. He did. Like,
yeah.
Shying away from getting hit, missing guys wide or in the dirt. And it's just like, oh, geez, whereas Justin Fields, who was not great against Northwestern in the championship game, conference championship game there, last night, he gets his ribs crushed, goes back out there. Yeah, he's wincing, but like toughness, big throws, accuracy, big boy throws too in traffic. Like, I don't know, man. Like, if nothing else, if he has an awesome game and beats Alabama, if Ohio State beats Alabama in the championship game, well, he's no worse than number two. Even if, okay, Lawrence is the guy.
Yes.
Well, get out of my face with, like, Zach Wilson or any of these other quarterbacks that are being talked about all of a sudden.
That's what I think, that it's more like,
if nothing else, Justin Fields is two. And if you're the Jets, well, if you were thinking, well, can we get the consolation prize? Sam Darnold, new coach, maybe we can coach him up. Like, no, you take Fields, you idiots.
No, I mean, I think that's how I feel about it, is that this was more about Fields rightfully taking back the number two spot from Zach Wilson that some people thought he had ascended to than it is about being able to usurp Trevor Lawrence somehow. I still like Trevor Lawrence. I don't feel like he's Kirk Cousins with hair, although that's pretty good. I know how you love your quarterback nicknames, Hawaiian Tebow. You know, you have all these quarterback nicknames that you like. I think the fact is you like the nickname a lot, so you want it to be true.
No, I ultimately don't, though, because I think the league goes as the quarterbacks go.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like the
But does Jacksonville need to be good for the league? Does it matter?
No, ultimately. Well, I mean, the more competition, the better. I mean, there is a relevant franchise. There isn't pro sports, let alone the NFL.
Just moved to London already.
Right. Oh, he's got proper mane, that Trevor Lawrence there, yeah? I don't understand what's really going on. I came here for football. There's no pitch. They're playing this game that the Yanks like. I got it. Why? Please don't do that. I know that, they've ruined the league anyway, and they've watered it down. I've been on this deep dive, Chris, of watching and to like soothe my soul, I've been watching like mid to late 90s Patriots clips on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. And, man, it's so much different than it was even 5 years ago. But you look at it from like 97 to now, it's a completely different sport. Oh, God, I miss how violent it used to be.
Yeah, well, they took all the violence out because of concussions, but also fantasy football. They've rigged, like, you know, we talk about the safety part of it, which I am 100% for. And it's just amazing. The NFL used to sell these like greatest hits or like boom, crunching collisions. Yeah. You know, you could buy these videos and they were sort of complicit with the violence and the injuries in the game. And they were selling it the same way NASCAR used to sell the car crashes. But it's not just the safety part of it. And I say this all the time. It's like, why do you need the 5-yard illegal contact rule? Like, why is that? Why is that called?
I hate that.
Why is that called so assiduously? But your point about offensive holding, where it's just like, oh yeah, he just tackled that guy. Oh, you know, I think did he just rock bottom that guy? Yeah, he did. Well, you know, that's not a hold. Why is it like that? It's because of fantasy football. It's like, you know, it's like what's the thing with Jonathan Kraft that time? Like, oh, Randy Moss, the fantasy numbers, yeah. Right? That famous kind of clip. The league's not dumb. They know that fantasy football is basically legalized gambling and that it fuels people's interest in games that they otherwise wouldn't be interested in. So they want to make sure they cater to it.
Yeah, and this speaks to something we talked about earlier. There's a great article from Kevin Seifert on ESPN.com, Behind the Paywall. It's you know, pay the $10, you cheap son of a bitch. And the title
of the article. $10 on Cameo, though.
Well, 15. And I'll dance for you. I'll give you 2 minutes of nonstop voice.
But somebody, I mean, times are tough, Jim. Someone might have to decide $10 for ESPN or the 15 to you.
Pay me the 15. Okay. I deliver. Everyone, you get a decent article once every like 4 months on ESPN. Let's be honest. But this one really stood out to me. And it's to what Chris is just talking about, where it's titled Want an Advantage NFL Playoff Teams? Hold on every play because officials aren't calling it. Kevin Seifert writes this long, long piece. And he goes on to say here, two of the three lowest per game rates of offensive holding flags this season have occurred in just the past couple of weeks. And the point is, like, they haven't been calling it all that much this year, but in the last few weeks, more than ever, they've turned a blind eye. 84% fewer flags for offensive holding than they did for most of this century, meaning that last week, NFL officials threw 84% fewer flags for offensive holding than they did for most of this century. Like, that's crazy. And it makes me, like, my takeaway from reading this article, Chris, we talked about it earlier, the Patriots offense is actually worse than we thought. If this is true, where Cam Newton's thrown for 5 touchdowns in a pass-happy league that benefits the quarterbacks, where they're not calling holding, this is generationally terrible offense for the Patriots. It doesn't just suck. It's all-time suck.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, I also feel like there are times your coach can just glare his way out of your team's penalties.
Oh, so yeah,
that's
true.
If you put that on top of it, it makes you really wonder, like, what's going on with their offense this year.
Seifert writes, the league sack rate per attempt, 5.7%, second lowest in the past 20 years. Sacks are not only the measure of pass rush, but in fact, impactful, he goes on to say. And there's complaints from the likes of Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt have been talking about it all season. Yeah, they've turned a blind eye to holding. They have. So, again, it just speaks to me that the Patriots offense worse than we previously thought. And maybe, if this has been going on all season, maybe Michael Owenu, probably overrated. We hit on that one, did Bill Belichick in the sixth round. Do we know? Maybe I need to actually go in, watch some of this tape, like Greg Bedard does, see all these holds, and we realize, oh, no, this sixth rounder, he didn't hit on him at all. He's just been cheating this whole time. You want to weigh in on anything we've touched on before we wrap up? 617-779-0985. Brent in Shrewsbury has a thought on Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. So I want to premise this by saying I'm usually like a pretty big Marcus Smart like sympathizer. Like, I like him. I used to watch that Embiid shove on replay, but that's not what I'm talking about. So last night there's an obvious criticism of his shot selection, and I kind of shrieked myself, even being a Marcus Smart fan, with that three. And I heard Scal kind of defend it, and he was kind of convincing, and I ended up kind of on the fence. But that layup, like, that's not a shot selection problem. I feel like he drove looking to pass, and the defense was like, please, Marcus, please shoot it. And he can't make, like, a little rinky-dinky layup. That's more a shot-making problem than selection problem. I know it goes hand-in-hand, but, like, that second shot, I think he's got to make that. Like, forget the three.
Right.
How can he miss that shot? Thanks,
no, you're
guys.
Right. But part of the problem with Marcus Smart's shot selection is him shooting too much. Like, sometimes the best shot for Marcus Smart is not to shoot because he's Marcus Smart. And I feel like he doesn't get that. And yeah, I too was kind of like, I don't know. I disagreed with Scal's take on that shot. Now, I do think Brad Stevens was probably okay with it. And I think that's what Scal was ultimately trying to say, is that like the Celtics themselves are okay with that shot. But I didn't. That wasn't a good shot. And all you had to do was look at the body language of his teammates to know they didn't want that either.
All right. The hell with this. Let's wrap up with the five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
That's right. That's how we wrap up the program each and every week, as long as there's time. Five questions for Chris Gasper of WCVB Channel 5. They have nothing to do with sports. We keep it a little loose and light here on Gasper and Murray. I don't know. I mean, do they talk like that in their real life? Question number one, Chris. With the popularity of Queen's Gambit. By the way, have you watched it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Come on. With the popularity of Queen's Gambit, are you more of a chess or a checkers guy?
Ooh. Really neither. To be honest with you, you probably think I would be a chess or checkers guy, but no, I'm neither one. I'm no.
Did you like any board games growing up that you're still into?
Not really. No,
Uno?
I'm not like a big board
Monopoly?
Game person. I mean,
Life?
I did like Uno a little bit. Connect Four, I like.
All right. Chess is still great. I mean, I'm terrible at it, but I would be a chess guy. Question number two. What restaurant, Chris Gasper, did you think was fancy as a kid, but as you got older, realized it actually wasn't?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably Joe's American Bar and Grill at the North Shore Mall, because we used to go there for like every occasion, and it felt like a big deal. And then you're like, oh, this is just a generic chain restaurant.
Here's one you'll probably remember. Do you remember Augustine's on Route 1 in Saugus?
I don't.
See, you aren't just a tad too young.
Yeah,
they closed it, I believe, by the mid to late 80s. But Augustine's, you olds, you Gen Xers like me, you remember that. If you're a North Shore kid, Augustine's was buffet style, mostly Italian buffet style. They just had like this nice bread setup, soft serve machines. As a fat kid, it's fat kid paradise. But at the time, you get around to like your teens, you realize, oh, that place was a dump, and it was like Z-grade food, and it closed for a reason. Question number three, Chris, if you could get rid of one season in 2021, winter, spring, summer, fall, what season would you get rid of?
Oh, 100% winter. I hate when it's you know, my brother's in California. They're obviously having major issues with COVID. I'm still hoping I can, you know, get vaccinated and go out there and they'll turn it around. that's one of the things that I loved about my job was that I could travel at the globe. I would travel and try and avoid winter. It's like, oh, I'm going to spring training for 2 weeks. See you in 2 weeks, honey. Like, getting away from winter is one of my very favorite things in the world.
Same here. And that's why this is, Christmas week. My wife's birthday is Christmas. Mine's New Year's Eve. In lieu of gifts, we take trips. Not this year, thanks to this hell pandemic. And, I was real tense this last couple of weeks. And then I usually look forward to these Super Bowl trips we've been able to, benefit with this trip. Yeah, no trip to Tampa this year either. Oh, no. Banned winter. Like the bees banned winter. Oh, but global warming. Yeah, that's terrible, but I'm not enough kids. That's their problem. Next question. Chris, are you into roast beef sandwiches? And if so, what's the best and how do you order it?
You know, I'm not super into roast beef, but I'll tell you, I used to love Mino's when I was a kid.
Ah, Mino's.
Mino's was pretty good. Great sauce, man. Oof, yes, very good. But there's a roast beef place they have in Los Angeles, and I can't remember the name
of it. L.A. Beefs, get out of my face with
really
this.
Really good. It was so good. And they have, like, frozen custard, too.
You bougie. Oh, you get out of my face. We're going to talk beefs, and you're going to say L.A. Beefs?
Yeah, what it's like a legitimate place. I got to remember the name of it. I can't remember that. But it looks like, I actually said to my sister, I was like, how long has that place been? It looks like it's been there for 30 years. And she's like, no, it's actually new, and it's built to look old. It was so good. And I drive out of my way to go to it when I'm in L.A. Jim, let's just be honest. Everything is better in L.A. Like, legitimately, 65% of my wardrobe is stuff I bought in L.A.
I don't doubt that for a second. But, that's sacrilege. That's a place I guarantee. Yeah, can I get a three-way? What do you mean? A roast beef, a sauce, cheese, mayo, three-way. No, we have it with an artisanal au jus, and we have caramelized. That's not how you order a beef.
I'm telling you. Next time, if you're out there, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go to this place. It is legit. It is legit.
This is where I wish we were on satellite and I could swear because you should be sworn at right now.
I gave you Mino's.
Artisanal LA beefs.
Mino's is good on the East Coast and this place is good on the West Coast.
Final question. If you take down the Christmas tree on December 26th, what does that say about your personality?
I have to be honest. I would never put the thing up in the first place. I mean, I'm not anti-Christmas tree. I'm just lazy. I'm not really into the decorations. At some point, I'll probably have a home. I'm not going to put the lights up. It's a pain. I just don't want to deal with it. Do you know how hard it is to put an artificial tree back in the box, all together? I have no interest.
I don't know. I have to ask my wife when I get home because she did it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, my wife puts the tree up, too. I'm not interested in it. And it's not like a Scrooge thing. If someone else is going to do it, that's great. But it's not any less Christmas for me if there's not a tree there. I mean, we still have the gifts, I'll put a wreath on the door and all that other stuff, but putting the fake tree up and then decorating it, that's not really my thing.
Yeah, I don't mind it if it lasts till around this time, but once you get into the first or the second, take that thing down. If you take it down on the 26th, I have no problem with it either.
My wife will keep it up to mid-February.
Oh, take that down.
I legit have to be can you take that down? Yeah. You think you can take that down? Can you take that down now?
So concludes five questions for Chris Gasper have nothing to do with our
I'll find that
sport.
Roast beef place for you, Jim.
L.A. Beefs. It sounds like a porno. Of all the places around here, Billy's in Wakefield. You get that new Jamie's place on the North Shore.
So I want to try that because, Chef Jamie is the man. And that's probably, I'll be honest, I've heard really good things. That probably will be L.A. caliber.
You put mayo on it, right? No, we use an artisanal aioli, a garlic aioli on our L.A. beefs. Welcome to L.A. beefs. We have a signed photo of Christopher L. Gasper. He comes
top
3,000.
Round. That's the guy. That's it. Top round on La Brea. Somebody just tweeted at me. It's top round.
Top
yes.
Round.
It's very good. 3,000 really
miles
it.
For beef. Oh,
I would
God.
Fly out there tomorrow to go to that place.
All right. So concludes the show. Chris, always a pleasure, buddy. Tomorrow he will be with, of course, Beetle at 10 a.m.
Doing pregame.
Final pregame of the season for the Patriots leading into Patriots Jets. I'll be in the postgame with Joe Murray. Thanks to Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. Writing about the Celtics, who shouldn't have lost to Detroit yesterday, but, they're inconsistent. Otherwise, enjoy your weekend. I'll be back when Philgren Mass finally return on Monday. See ya.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics rallied and then blew a late lead. They lose to the Pistons yesterday, 96-93. They were down by 21 in the first half. Jason Tatum finished with 28 points. Jaylen Brown with 25. They brought the Celtics back before they went ice cold late. Celtics take on the Pistons again tomorrow in Detroit with a 3 o'clock tip-off. Catch it here with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Some NFL news. Replacing Alvin Kamara going to be even harder for the Saints on Sunday after their running backs room ruled out as COVID-19 has ran rampant through that team. This means backups Latavius Murray, Dwayne Washington, fullback Michael Burton, and running backs Coach Joel Thomas all ruled out against the Panthers because they were deemed close contacts to Alvin Kamara, who tested positive yesterday. Cornerback Joe Hayden testing positive for COVID-19, creating a significant hole in the Steelers' secondary. Playoff just a week away. Even if he's asymptomatic, players who test positive have to be isolated for at least 10 days, making it likely Hayden is going to miss the first round of the playoffs, along with Sunday's Week 17 game against the Cleveland Browns. And Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian is expected to be named the new head coach at Texas, replacing Tom Herman, who was fired today. Headlines brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Almost 50% of Americans choose losing weight as their New Year's resolution. It doesn't change. Stop the cycle. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.